Dale is doing a marvelous job back there, y'all. Yeah, thank you, Dale. I want to greet everybody once again. It's a good day. It's a good day. It's a good day because God is good. We're gonna revisit our text that we looked at last week, and you might remember we're working our way through these verses here. So if you could find Romans 12, verses 9 through 13, that's where we'll spend a little time investigating again today. And if you're physically able to stand while I read the Word of God in your hearing, we just want to honor God in this particular way, all right? Romans 12, verses 9 through 13. And it reads like this. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for another day. We do thank you that we are alive today because your grace kept us. The storm has passed over, at least for the moment, and we're still here. We're still here because your mighty hand has kept us in the midst of it, Lord. And so we do not take it for granted, Lord, that you are our protector, you're our provider, you're our healer, you're our deliverer, you are the refuge of our lives, Lord. And we're so thankful that we find in you, the very substance of life. And so we bless you today. For those of us who've made it past, you speak of becoming 60 or maybe 70. For those of us who've made it over into this territory, Lord, we want to thank you that you kept us through some of the most dangerous years of our lives. And for this we give you thanks. And so meet with us now in the Spirit, and guide us in the truth, and help us to understand what you mean by these words that you've recorded for us in Jesus' name. Everyone that believes said, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. All right. Well, y'all know we're talking about this amazing love. It's the amazing love of God, and it's just amazing love from God, and everything about God's love is amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing that He loved us. Why do we love? Because God, what? He first loved us. It's amazing. It's amazing. Everybody here, you know yourself better than anybody. You ought to be amazed that God loved you. Hallelujah. You know the things that you've done. You know the things that you said. You know the things you're ashamed of right now. And so everybody here that's a believer, that's been saved by the grace of God, you ought to be what? Amazed. Yeah. John Newton was amazed by the grace of God. I'm amazed by His love. Aren't you? Yes, yes. Love, so amazing. So amazing. It is. It is. And So you might remember as we started this section last week, we looked at the first verse here, and God says to the believer, let love be genuine. You know, God doesn't want fake and phony love. He doesn't want pretenders, so what? Let your love be real. Yeah? Be real. So that when the day is done, you know you can look people in the eye. And when you say, I love you, that's what you mean, right? Let love be real. And so then he goes on and he begins to give some ways that we can demonstrate this, that our love is genuine, right? And this amazing love. First of all, you say you have to abhor evil. You can't be indifferent. You can't sit on the sideline with all this evil and corruption in the world. You can't sit on the sideline and say, I have no opinion. No. God says, if you love me, if you love people, you have to what? Abhor evil, because evil is what? Destroying people, including yourself. So we love people, even our enemies, but what? We hate the evil that's destroying them and us. But then he flips right on the other side of that coin. He says, then you have to cling, right, to what is good. Mm-hmm. And thank God he gives us the mind of Christ so that we can know the difference between good and evil, right? We can know. And then lastly, last week we saw that this amazing love says to us that we've got to have this brotherly affection for each other. And we looked at all of those terms and saw that what? That means we're family. We're a family like no other family. And people like to talk about their blood brothers and sisters. We are, those of us in the family of God, we are literally, eternally what? Blood brothers and sisters. Yeah. Blood brothers and sisters. Amen. And so today we're just going to continue to look at a few more practical aspects of this amazing love. Because ultimately, you remember what I told you before? It just does no good to go through and get all these, you got all these You understand all of the ebbs and flows and the jots and the tittles. You know all the technical stuff about the scriptures, but you don't know how to do it, right? I remember in seminary, one of my professors said that every person listening to your sermon has the right to come up to you afterwards and say, so what? Yeah. You preach the whole sermon and I don't know what to do. So what? You see? So that's what I don't want you coming up to me today saying, so what? Because I'm going to tell you, so what? We're going to talk about, so what? What does it mean? What are we to do with this wonderful truth that we're talking about? Boy, this thing gets going. It goes. Okay, let me get back here. We're only going to be able to look at three of these aspects today, because I want to move at a pace that we can take some time and think about it. Yeah, want to think about the practical things that we need to do to live out love, and so the three next things that we're going to look at is showing honor, serving with diligence and enthusiasm. And then lastly, rejoicing and hope. All right? You ready? Let's go. Now, you see there verse 10, you see the second sentence in verse 10? It says, outdo one another in showing honor. See that? In verse 10? Well, that word honor, phonetically the word is spelled like time, T-I-M-E. It's a long E, so it's time, okay? The word teme. And it means that someone has value. And so it means that you want to show that they have value. Right? You want to manifest that that someone has value to you. You wanna reverence them or respect them, if you will. You see, that's the whole idea. Is that among God's people, you see, God's people have value. Why? Because Jesus died for everyone. Right? There's no big one, a little one, a more important one than the other. Remember what Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians with the body of Christ? The eye can't say to the hand or, you know, any other body part, I don't need you, you see? So, but we all just got different roles, and so we have to see value in each other. Yeah, value. And again, many of you all that have siblings, you know what I'm talking about. Some of the siblings are tall, some of them are short, some of them are thin, and the opposite of thin. And whatever the other case may be, some decided to, be highly educated. Some decided that they were going to do something different. But they're what? They're all important members of your family. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And so it is with the body of Christ. God said that he's created this wonderful variety. Yeah? This wonderful variety. And so we have to learn to value, right? Value each other. The other word there, and I remember the first time I read this, it was it's kind of strange to see the Bible tell you to outdo other people. You ever thought about that? This is the one place in the Bible that tells you to outdo other people. But you notice what it says. You outdo one another in showing honor. And so that word, I spelled these two words out. I'm not trying to overwhelm you with Greek words, but I want you to see them because they have meaning. Proegeomai is phonetically, for those who are listening and may not be able to see this, it's P-R-O-E, long E, G-E-O-M-A-I, proegomai. And it's it means to be first. Now this is really interesting. It means to be first or to lead the way. Now you'll follow this real close. It actually means to be in a leadership position. You got this? Now I want to show you something that is so amazing. This is a way that each believer can be in a position of what? Leadership. People always clamoring to be in a position of leadership. This verse shows you how everybody in the body of Christ can be in the position of leadership. You didn't know it was there. Oh, Brother Willie, I don't know about that. Well, think about it. Think about it. Each believer should lead the way in showing value for other believers. That's what he's saying. Why don't you be a leader? Why don't you lead the way in showing how important other people in the body of Christ are? Why are you sitting back and waiting for somebody else, you see? You want to be in leadership? Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. You lead the way. You get it? Amen. This is not just knowing that other people are valuable, but what? Showing. Showing it. And you might, most of us know, again, at our age, grandparents, and in many cases, our parents are no longer with us, but parents and grandparents, They had valuable things, right? Jewelry or coins or recipes or, quilts or, whatever the thing may be. And oftentimes they what? They leave those valuable things for the next generation. Yeah? And it's a wonderful thing. But you see, the next generation has to see value. Has to see value in it. Right? And so when you see value in that which someone else saw value, it's a wonderful thing because now you can embrace the truth of the matter. And so what we're saying here is that God looks out among his children and he sees what? Value in all of his children. And he wants what? He wants us to do the same. See value. He said it. See value. With each other. And this is not a hard thing to do. Not a hard thing to do. But again, when our parents or grandparents or ancestors pass something valuable down to us, you can't just know it's valuable. You got to what? Show. You got to demonstrate it. A quilt has to be treated carefully, right? Pieces of jewelry have to be treated with care. You treat it like it's what? It's valuable when you know that it is. Okay, you get the point. All right, so that's the idea of showing honor. And so this is the next way we can demonstrate this amazing love. This amazing love. Then, let's move on to verse 11. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, he says, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Let's put this together. We just looked and discussed how everyone can be a what? Leader. Now we're going to discuss what? How everybody can serve. Isn't God just amazing in how he brings things together for his people? That God doesn't want us to get stuck in any one idea. You don't need to get stuck up in the clouds with the fact that you're a leader. But he wants you to see that leaders do what? Serve. Yeah. Everybody can be a leader, but everybody also needs to know how to serve. Amen. Yeah. At the end of 1 Corinthians, after Paul has gone through this wonderful treatise about the resurrection, and y'all know it, at the end of it, there he goes, he says, well, therefore be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is what? Not in vain. So everybody looking forward to the resurrection needs to know you gotta work. God don't have any trophy Christians. There's no EEOC or whatever your thing is in Christianity. You didn't just get put in here because you're a favorite. No. You're saved by grace. You are God's what? Workmanship, what? Created for what? Good works, which he prepared beforehand. And it's a wonderful thing to discover what works God has planned for you, isn't it? Yeah. And so that's all we're saying. Everybody can lead, and everybody needs to know how to serve. But you need to know where you lead. And you need to know where to serve. Okay? So, Every believer is a servant of the Lord and must, you see how that sentence ends there in verse 11? Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. He's already said, you outdo one another in showing honor. And see, be a leader. Be in the leadership position in showing honor. And now he comes to say, serve the Lord in doing it.
Yes.
Don't do it for show. Don't do it for show.
Right.
If you do it for show, as the Bible says, you got that reward already.
Right.
You want people to applaud you? That's your reward.
Yeah.
You want people to celebrate you? That's your reward. But if you're serving the Lord, you got to wait. You got to wait for that great day to hear, good and what? Faithful servant. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah.
Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Yeah. Come on up here. Come on up here. So we were all saved with the purpose of serving. And what this verse says to us is that our serving is to be with diligence, which is the word zeal here in the ESV, and enthusiasm, which is the word fervent. You get it?
Okay.
Serving is to be with diligence, which with the faithfulness, with the thoroughness, with the commitment and enthusiasm, meaning you're not going to be lazy and indifferent. And you see, diligence has to do with our action, and enthusiasm has to do with what? Our attitude. Because that's how life in the kingdom works. You don't. You see, it's a hypocrite that just does things for outward show.
Amen.
But it needs to be done because your attitude, because of what's in your heart. You see? So the actions and the attitude need to be the same. You're not doing it because somebody made you do it. You're doing it because you want to do it. You're serving the Lord because you want to do it. You're serving the Lord because you're thankful that you got to. That you got an assignment. Oh, my. You know, each one of us serves the Lord in so many different ways. You see, unfortunately, the way this world comes at people who work at home, people almost embarrassed, women and men or whoever the case may be, almost embarrassed to say that you work at home. Why? If that's the assignment that God has given you, serve, do it with knowing that you're what? You're serving the Lord. Yes. And those who own jobs, we're told to you go to work as though you are what? Serving the Lord. You go to school, we've got a few young people still here this morning. You go to school, you do it as unto the Lord, you see? Why are you making good grades? Because I'm a representative of God. I want people to know how diligent God's people are. Yeah? Serve the Lord. So all these different venues where we can serve the Lord. And you see, because it's a servant service to the Lord, it warrants our best. That's all he's saying here. Don't throw God your leftovers. If you're going to serve him, do it with your heart. Do it wholeheartedly. It warrants our best. And our action and our attitude needs to be what? The best. Don't be grumble. Don't do something, then come back, grumble and fuss and complain about it. That means it wasn't in your heart to begin with. Yeah? Why is it called work? Because it's not the easiest thing to do. Yeah? People think of a job as only being something that you go to, you know, with some employer out in the world. No, no, God has lots of work to be done. And it's not always out in the spotlight where people can see it. That's the thing. Oftentimes the work is not seen by many, even though it's enjoyed by many. And even though they didn't see it and you don't get all the praise for it, you didn't do it for the praise. Well, you see the point? You did it for the Lord. People didn't see it, but who did? God saw it. And trust me, He'll never forget. He'll never forget what you did for Him. You know, most people consider it an honor to have an assignment in the hospital. Well, they used to anyway, you know, to be able to work in the hospital and help people. Most people, you know, used to consider it an honor to work for the fire department or something like that, right, where they're saving lives. Most people, you know, used to, and I said used to because it's such a corrupt world that people don't see value in things anymore. Most people used to consider it an honor, you know, to have a position in something like the CIA. I was on a plane a few years back with a young man, and he was he had made application to work. It might have been the FBI. I can't remember if it was the FBI or the CIA. But he was telling me about how thorough they are in vetting you, you know. Going back to the smallest of offense in all of your life. Why? Because this is a position of honor. You can't bring shame to the name. You see? You know, most people, they used to anyway, consider it an honor to work in Congress and set laws and to do things that are helpful for people, or in the White House and, you know, all of those kind of things. But my brother, my sister, we have an assignment in the kingdom of God. There is no higher assignment. Nowhere, no how. An assignment in the kingdom of the King. The King of the universe has said, I want you to work for me. Uh-huh. You understand this? Yes. Think of all of the people He passed over to get to you. Hallelujah. You didn't send in a resume. It wouldn't have made it anyway. Right. He chose you. Yes. For your position.
Yes.
Not because you were qualified, because He was going to qualify you.
Yes.
Now you can't beat that kind of master. Choose you because you got nothing, and He's going to give you everything you need.
Yes.
Teach you everything you need to know.
Thank you.
And all you got to do is to serve Him with the right attitude and act. Oh!
That's right.
Well, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with us, brothers and sisters? What's wrong with us? This is the highest of assignments.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the reason I remember when I was growing up, you know, they used to sing an old song just to be thankful, just to have a job as a usher, you know, to be on the door. Y'all remember the old song like that? And why? Because it's an honor. There's no big job or a little job in the church or in the kingdom of God. Y'all got that one? Yeah, he's probably said, Willie, would you please let it go. All right. So I'm just saying that because we have this honorable assignment, it just warrants our best. It warrants our best, yeah. So that's the second aspect of this amazing love. And so we'll move to the last one before, so we can kind of bring it all together. The last one is rejoicing in hope. You see that at the very first phrase there in verse 12. Rejoice, rejoice in hope. So let's think about this for just a few minutes, and we'll try to wrap it all up, bring it all together. Okay. Joy. Joy and rejoicing is a part of the fabric, the very new nature of our lives. We draw upon joy because joy is already there, right? Well, what do you mean, Brother Willie? Well, the Holy Spirit has come to dwell, right, inside everyone that's a Christian. And Galatians 5 says what? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love and joy and peace and patience and God. Y'all know all that. So it's already there. You don't have to pray about love and joy. The fruit's already there. Just draw upon it. Produce it. Yeah?
Yes, yes.
It's a part of the fabric of our lives. That's the reason James could say, count it all joy when you meet the various trials in life, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Why? Because the joy is already there.
Yes.
That's the reason Paul could say in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say what? Rejoice. Why? Because it's already in there. It's
yes.
There. Brother Ernest said, you don't need a cheerleader for this.
Right.
No, when you got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, why you need a cheerleader? You don't need me up here. My job is just to remind you. And I told you all that before. I just remind you of things that many of y'all have been with me 25, 30 years. You already know these things. I'm just reminding you of things you already know. Paul would go on in Romans 15, I believe it is. Say, may the God of hope fill you with all what? Joy and peace in believing. Yeah. So you see, it's a part of our the fabric of our life, and so our joy is not fake. It's not phony. We're not pretending we have joy. It's real joy. It didn't come from the world. It didn't come because I got a new car or because I got this thing over here. It didn't come because I got a promotion. It didn't come just because I feel good today. It's joy that's deep down within me.
Yes.
And it's there when I'm facing some of the roughest spot things in my life. That's the reason they don't understand Christians. The world can't understand us. We're an oxymoron to the world. What do you mean, kind of all joy when you're going through trouble? You see? But see, that our joy is pure and holy and righteous and good. Why? Because it's of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's real joy. Our joy has substance. Our joy gives us strength. Our joy gives significance. Our joy pulls us through situations that other people don't make it. Because the joy of the Lord is our what? It's our strength. Yeah. Now, Brother Willie, where are you going with this? This is really important now. I'm trying to tie it all together. You see, sometimes when we're serving the Lord, sometimes when you're engaged in the service we're talking about, it looks like nothing's happening. Sometimes it looks like your labor is unfruitful. Sometimes you feel like that little hamster just spinning
you know, just spinning the wheel. And sometimes you get weary. Yes, you know, the songs we sang today, sometimes you do feel like, I don't know if I can go on. Why do we go on? This is what I'm telling you. This is why we go on. You see, God knew that we were going to have those kind of times in our life serving the Lord. And so he wanted you to know this joy is there to pull you through when you unappreciate it. When you're overlooked. So you see, we must learn. We must learn to rejoice with hope. If it was natural, the Bible wouldn't tell us to do it. You understand that? The Bible wouldn't tell us to rejoice with hope if it's something that you just naturally did. So this is something you have to practice. This is something you have to learn to do. Don't cave in just because you're tired and frustrated and angry. Now that doesn't mean you don't experience those things. That means you got to learn how to press through. In spite of. Yes? In spite of. Why, Brother Willie? Well, you see, because our joy is always anchored in God himself.
Amen.
Yeah. You see, when your joy is anchored in him who is immovable himself, your joy is anchored in him and who is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Your joy is anchored in him who is from everlasting to everlasting. Your joy is anchored in him who can do anything. So your joy is anchored in his will. When you know you're doing God's will, and when you know you're doing it God's way, you can just leave the result to him. That's the kind of hope we're talking about here. It may not look the way you wanted it to look, but you have to leave. When you're doing what God assigned you to do, you got to leave the result to him. Huh? Because God is causing what? All things. I wonder if we really believe that. All things. All things. Well, it's been 10 years. All things. All things. It doesn't matter how long you've been praying about it or how much money you've spent on it. He's causing what? All things.
Hallelujah.
To work together for what? Good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Yeah? So when you're doing it, how did Paul end up that Romans 15? He said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound with hope. Look at that. Got on both, like two bookends. He's the God of hope, and he wants you to what? Abound in hope. Right in the middle of all that is joy and the power of the Holy Spirit. Ain't nothing like the Christian life.
Amen.
There's nothing like the Christian life. As long as you're doing God's will and pleasing him, we can have genuine rejoicing in hope. You see, biblical hope looks ahead. Biblical hope can look ahead. It looks ahead to the future that God has promised. It looks ahead and it perseveres when it's hard. Looks ahead and perseveres when it's perplexing. Looks ahead and perseveres when you get setbacks, looks ahead and perseveres, when you have delays and deficiencies and desertions and lack of cooperation, lack of participation, looks ahead and perseveres when you got opposition and attrition and confusion and collusion and threats and dangers and anger and slander and secret agendas and wolves and vultures and demons and Satan himself working against you. You can look ahead and persevere. Why? Because I'm doing God's will and I'm doing it God's way. And I leave the result to him. You can't beat that deal. I shouldn't call it a deal, but you know what I'm saying. Oh my, that's what I mean when I say be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not what? In vain. And that's what it means to rejoice in hope. And so that's the last way of this amazing love that we're going to have time to address today. So as we conclude, those are the aspects for this week. Every believer is of great value to God and should be of great value to what? Every other believer. Because every believer is of great value, we must find ways to what? Demonstrate that value in our deeds and not in words only. This cannot be done without humility. Humility enables us to see other believers as more, as just as valuable as ourselves. Paul would go even further in Philippians 2 and say, consider the interests of others as what? More important. You can't do that without humility. You can't do that without humility. And so we also need humility to serve God in places and in ways and with people that we would not and did not choose for ourselves. That's a wonderful mystery and marvel. The Bible says God assigns people to the church. He assigns you where he wants you to be. That's something. That's the reason I say it's a wonderful thing to have an assignment. Yeah. And so you often find yourself serving God in places and in ways and with people that you wouldn't choose for yourself. And so our deeds, our service, our ministries, and our labor must be done with a godly attitude and a godly commitment. That's what he called fervent and what? And zeal. But you see, a humility is also necessary when our service appears to be unfruitful, when it appears to be unappreciated, and when it appears to be unrewarding. You got to have humility to go on. Humility. So we must learn. We must learn to have joy when there's no fruit. Learn to have joy when there's no friends. Learn to have joy when you got no family support. Learn to have joy when there's no finances. Learn to have joy when there are no people helping you. Learn to have joy when there's no praise coming forth. Learn to have joy when you got people problems. Learn to have joy when you got medical problems. Learn to have joy when you got family problems. Learn to have joy when you got COVID problems. Learn to have joy when you got building problems. Learn to have joy when you got technology problems. Learn to have joy. Joy when you're on the mountain. Joy when you're in the valley. Joy when you got plenty. And joy when you got very little. Joy. Amen. When you can see things clearly. And joy when you're perplexed and don't see no way through. Joy when you're running. And joy when you're crawling. Joy when you're smiling and joy when you're crying. All of it is because this is the joy of the Lord. You see? And the rejoicing is because of him. This kind of joy always gives the believer hope because God is faithful. Yeah? God is the joy and the strength of my life. Removes all pain and misery and strife. And you're like, that's an amazing song, isn't it? Well, I'm going to have to leave it right there today. We'll consider more next week, if the Lord wills. Jesus has given us this wonderful opportunity. It's all because of him. Right? He said, no one knows the Father. You can't come to the Father except what? Through me. And so if there's someone here today that, you know, you've listened to all of this and you find that it brought you some sense of peace and consolation, but you know that you're really not connected to God. You're not a child of God. You don't want to fake it. You've got to come to Christ, not to me. There's no chair up here for you to sit in or any of those kind of things, because you need to come to Christ. Now, if you come to Christ, you can sit where you want to sit. And you know, he's got a place for you to serve. But as we take this time to meditate, if you don't know Christ, I want you to come to him. He's the Savior. He can save. Nobody in this church can save you. I can't save anybody. I've done my job for today. I presented the word that God gave me, but if you want to be saved, you got to come to Christ. All you have to do is believe upon him. Those of you that already know him, I just hope that you'll take these things to heart and meditate on them as we bow together now as God's people. Father, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we spent together here today. Thank you for honoring us with your presence and your power. Would you now take these feeble words of mine and apply them to all of our hearts? I need them applied to my own heart, Lord, and enable us, Lord, to live out this amazing love so that you said by this, will all people, will the whole world know that we're your disciples. If we have love one for another, would you do it for your glory in Jesus' name? Amen. Yeah. Well, I want.